Here's the mayor speaking.
The events
to
that unfolded across our city over these past few days. The steps that our great, resilient, and strong city will be taking to recover and to heal in the weeks and months ahead. And the hope I feel about the future, despite this difficult moment. Over the last few days, like many of you, I've experienced a series of difficult emotions: anger, frustration, despair, intense physical and emotional fatigue, and yes, also hope. Let me first address the heartbreak that many of us are experiencing. I've watched all of the video coverage of George Floyd's encounter with the four shameful Minneapolis police officers who took his life. I say all four, and not just the one who had his knee on his neck. All four were complicit. None followed their training, none intervened, and all felt entitled to abuse the privilege and honor of their badge to rob Mr. Floyd of his humanity, his future, and his life. None shied away from the brazenness of their conduct, even as Mr. Floyd cried out for his life. Thank goodness for the bystanders who stopped, trained their cameras on this obvious injustice, and preserved that moment for the rest of us to bear witness. The collective trauma and outrage arising from George Floyd's murder have reverberated in our city and across our country. For Black Americans, our history is paved with the racism and violence of the original sin of slavery. The open wounds from the slave master's whips, the rope marks from the lynching tree, blood spilled by the billy club, the dogs, and the fire hoses. To all of that, we must now add a knee to the neck, to the list of violence intended to break us. Here in Chicago, the murder of George Floyd evoked a long history of violence against African Americans in this country. More specifically, here in Chicago, it is indeed about Laquan McDonald and Quintonia LeGreer and Rekia Boyd and John Burge. And if we're honest, it goes back to at least as far as the Red Summer in 1919 and many other events before and since. It's about a fear that I must confess I still feel when I think about how the world will see my young Black daughter. It is for that very reason that I stand with those who are sick and tired of the lack of fundamental change. Change that results in the respect, dignity, and freedom that Black people deserve and demand in this country. To the thousands of people here in Chicago and across the country who engaged in peaceful, nonviolent protests for change, I stand with you. To those who have come out to express our shared righteous indignation in ways that give honor to Mr. Floyd and are consistent with the life and legacy of Mahatma Gandhi, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and so many others who believe in the power of nonviolent social change, I stand with you. However, I must draw a sharp line between the righteous and the wrong, between the hopeful and the cynical. We cannot conflate legitimate First Amendment expression with criminal conduct. Those acts are separate and distinct. We support and uplift what's right, and we must strongly condemn what's wrong. I will never stand for letting our pain spill over into violence and destruction against our communities. I will never stand for stealing the dreams and livelihoods of our neighbors. I will never stand for abandoning our values and our love of this city. My heart is truly broken over what has happened here in a city that I love. I have seen firsthand the piles of shattered glass and empty shelves. I do not mourn for that glass or for those shelves. I mourn for the sun in Hyde Park, who's piecing back together the 50-year-old store that his parents built in the face of racism from Jim Crow. I mourn for the daughter whose father dreamed of a family-owned shoe store that has supported his family for the past 50 years turn into a nightmare overnight. And I mourn for our young people who are clearly hurting, who don't see a future, for whom the light of hope in their eyes is dimming and in danger of being extinguished forever. My resolve is certain and clear. We will not leave our neighbors behind. As a city, I charge us to stop at nothing to ensure that the businesses we have lost come back to serve and support your neighbors, that the dreams of our young people are not lost, and that our path toward a more fair and just world remains within our reach. But I don't forget about the other part of my heart that is broken. It is broken over a different form of violence, a form that is always with us, a form that produces the despair and destruction and desperation that boils up in moments like these. It's what Bobby Kennedy called, quote, another kind of violence, slower but just as deadly, destructive as a shot or the bomb in the night, the violence of institutions, indifference and inaction and slow decay. This is the violence that afflicts the poor, that poisons relations between men because their skin is different colors. This is the slow destruction of a child by hunger and schools without books and homes without heat in the winter. We see it throughout our city and manifests as a life expectancy gap that is exposed within a 15-minute drive between adjoining neighborhoods. As a city where 44% of all households don't earn enough to cover essentials like housing, childcare, food, transportation, and health care. We must recognize that this has deep roots in our history. These are the byproducts of a system of violence buried deep in our institution that must be rooted out. It calls us to look deep into our organizations, our decisions, and our hearts to reconcile and account for the sins and harms of those before us. Because if we do not, we bear the weight, we feel the pain, and we will continue to live with the destruction. I love this city deeply. It has been over 30 years since I first began my life here. This is a place that made me the woman I wanted to be, just as it has for millions of others today and throughout our history. I am a Chicagoan, and so are you. And as a Chicagoan, I am a fighter. I don't back down from a challenge, and I protect what I love. Folks, this is our challenge. We know what we must do. We have always known. Full justice, true justice, equity and inclusion amongst all human beings is the only solution. And I am hopeful because what I also have seen from many of our fellow Chicagoans over the past few days through their resilience, hope in moments of despair, and dedication and commitment to our city. And here I must thank thousands of our own city workers, including police and fire, transit, sanitation, and so many others, along with millions of others who have fought to keep us afloat during these trying times. There is no shortcut to get to our better place. It is not one thing, it is not one program, it is not one event, it is not one person, it is everything, and it will require all of us. The opposite of violence is not security. The opposite of violence is justice. Justice is not something we can only look to find in law enforcement or in courts. Justice makes a demand of all of us, every part of our city. So tonight, my sadness, my anger, my frustration, they are met with my righteous hope. Hope that we own this moment. There are things that are difficult, but we know what we must do. It is our role as elected officials to roll up our sleeves and work in service of our communities, regardless of whether we created the problem or not. On May 10th, 2018, over 2 years ago, when I presented myself to you, the residents and the voters of Chicago, as a candidate for mayor, I spoke then and I remain committed now to equity and inclusion. I called them our North Stars. That commitment is even more crucial today because what we've experienced these last 10 weeks and especially these last few days. Now, I'm not here tonight just to share reflections, some flowery prose, without concrete solutions. That would be a meaningless or cynical gesture. I am here again to talk about specific solutions. And here's where I think we start. Regarding police reform and accountability, yes, we are under a consent decree, but the process of reform has been too slow and too narrowly focused. I will share with you now the directives that I have given to Superintendent David Brown for some immediate necessary steps on our journey toward reform. It means implementing the police accountability reform measures that we laid out when I led the Police Accountability Task Force, ones that build bridges between police and community. And I will be working with the superintendent and department leadership to implement a number of these measures within the next 90 days, ones critical to helping resolve our crisis of faith between the communities and the police. These include better and different training for police officers, which brings the community into the academy as teachers. This means training for district law enforcement on the history of neighborhoods, taught from the perspective of community members. Expanding on programs like M3, My Block, My Hood, My City, that provide youth-led tours of neighborhoods so that officers understand the history of the people they are required and sworn to serve and protect. Implementing a real officer wellness program and completing the officer support system early intervention pilot that provides support for officers in crisis, improving peer support, and providing counselors to those in need and holding people accountable. Because we all know that hurt people hurt people. Our officers must have better tools to manage the trauma and stress they see every day. This means mandating crisis intervention and procedural justice training for all officers, providing real tools for officers and community members to de-escalate challenging situations, establishing a new recruit program on police community relations and community policing with views from the city, from the community about what works. 90 days. Let's get it done. And the superintendent and department will be totally transparent in these efforts. This is just a start, not the end of our journey for police reform and accountability. Now, on top of these crucial reform measures, we need additional concrete solutions to help our neighbors and businesses recover. That means a fund for small businesses that have been hit recently but have always been neglected. So we will continue working to support a $10 million grant fund for these businesses. We will immediately set up this new fund that for businesses that have been hit hard but have been neglected. We will start with $10 million in city funds and invite others from the private sector and philanthropy to join us in this work. The funds will be provided citywide with an equity weighting that focuses on the South and the West Sides and businesses that have been most affected over the last few days. It also means that I will use every tool at my disposal to push insurance companies to do the right thing by their business customers. We are continuing to push and will soon have an announcement on insurance support for businesses. Now is the time to cut through red tape. Stop hiding behind small print. Get your adjusters out in the neighborhoods and start cutting checks. And it means comprehensive investment in mental health resources and health care. Just days ago, as I recently announced, this includes $1.2 million in funding at the community-based level to expand access for our residents experiencing serious mental illness and investment in a telemedicine platform to increase access and a website dedicated to wellness and self-care open to all Chicagoans. These resources are available for free. Please take advantage of them. I also want to speak to our young people in this moment. I want you to know that we see and hear you. I know that you are concerned and hurt and angry and traumatized as well as we all are. But my ask of you is this. Be the example for us adults in the way that you are with each other. Be examples in the way that you process the hurt and the fear that you're experiencing. Be leaders for us and stand up and lift up your voices. And for us adults, I say this all the time, and it bears repeating now. Our children are watching. And my hope is that they see us standing up in this moment and standing tall because we need to be them for them now more than ever. Even in this difficult and scary time, we need to wrap our arms around them with love and support. So folks, we will clean up these broken windows, but we can't stop there. We must also repair and clean up our broken systems. Not just by ending the violence that we've seen here, but reimagining our city and what our city means and must mean for every neighborhood, in every community, in every individual. Because as we repair this damage, as we mend these broken windows, and we clean our streets, we also have an opportunity to ensure that we do the same for those wounds that are not immediately visible, for the harm that has been done over many generations, and for the cracks in our society that we've ignored for far too long. We can do this, and we will do this. This is a start, not an end. Much more needs to be done. But I am committed, and I hope you will be with me on this necessary journey of our lifetime. That is a dream that we must fulfill. That is a task now in our hands. If we work, we can do what James Baldwin described. We will have, quote, in the teeth of the most terrifying odds, achieved an unassailable and monumental dignity. My brothers and sisters, even in the midst of our broken hearts for our brother George, who was ruthlessly taken away, and so many here in our city, before and after, the names that we all know well, we need to remember and cherish our great strength. That is, of course, our diversity. 77 neighborhoods strong, each unique and beautiful. 140 plus languages spoken, but we all speak in unison. We hail from different backgrounds. We worship different gods, but we are all united as Chicagoans. We cannot fail. We will not fail. We will not be distracted by those who are not pure of heart and mind. They are not us, and we are not them. We will and we must be united around a singular vision that we rise and fall together. If there is to be an uprising, let it be for peace. I call on all people of goodwill, young, old, black, brown, white, Asian, from all faith traditions, to rise up with me for peace. Stand for peace. Thank you. God bless you. And God bless this great city of Chicago.
That's Mayor Lori Lightfoot addressing the city of Chicago.